Hi, everybody. Welcome to English Digest. I'm Stephanie.
I am Tom.
Hey, it's day two of our technology unit. Technology's getting really exciting, and it's changing so fast, it's hard to keep up with everything. You know, in our earlier program, we were talking about self-driving cars or autonomous vehicles. If you want to use a more formal expression. I'm not completely sold on this idea. If you're sold on something, guys, it just means you've bought into it, you think it's a good idea, you're on board with it is another expression. But I know eventually we're all going to have to get with it and go along with these self-driving cars, even if the idea kind of scares us now.
Indeed. So yeah. They are the wave of the future. And of course, we can't really stop them. But at the moment, though, they're not really working out too well. As you said, there was an accident in Arizona.
Yeah,
was it last
killed
year
a woman.
Or something
yeah.
like that. So indeed, there's going to be some rough spots on the way, but eventually we'll have these around. And I think it'll also change the way we drive.
Mm.
I think we won't need to own our own cars so much. These cars will just come around and pick us up and drop us off.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you want to own your own car, you won't have to look for a parking space. It will just simply drive you to your office, and then that car will return back to your house for the day and come out again or something like that.
I don't know.
So it will certainly change the way society works, but that's still quite a ways off. These things aren't perfect yet, but they still are coming our way. Let's find out some more about these future developments regarding self-driving cars. Let's read the entire contents of today's lesson one time.
If you're wondering why it took more than 40 years to develop driverless cars that work, it's because they require a complex combination of three different technologies: sensors, connectivity, and software. Sensors, cameras and radar, for instance, monitor the surroundings for things such as traffic lights and other vehicles. Connectivity involves anything from internet access to information about routes, traffic, and weather. The software is the mind of the car. It makes decisions about steering, speed, and braking. Although a lot of progress has been made, the world won't be going driverless in the immediate future. A recent survey showed that 78% of drivers in the U.S. are afraid of riding in a driverless car, and people in other countries seem to share Americans' worries. Are these concerns justified? In terms of passenger safety, probably not. Over 80% of traffic accidents are caused by human error. Autonomous vehicles, on the other hand, don't fall asleep at the wheel, don't get drunk, and don't speed. Meaning accident numbers should go down when they are being used. One downside of driverless vehicles is that they could have a negative economic impact. Taxi, truck, and bus drivers might find themselves out of a job. Then there's the possibility of security threats, such as a car's computer system being hijacked. There are also legal concerns, including vehicle quality standards and licensing. Governments need to prepare for the changes that will occur with the arrival of self-driving vehicles. And they'll need to move fast, because sooner or later, we'll be living in a driverless world.
Okay, everybody, it's time for us to discuss the contents of today's lesson, Coming Your Way, Self-Driving Cars, Day 2. So we're beginning by saying, if you're wondering why it took more than 40 years to develop driverless cars that work, it's because they require a complex combination of three different technologies: sensors, connectivity, and software. So that's a pretty long sentence here. So let's take a look at the beginning here. Yeah, in case you're wondering, if you're wondering why it took so long for these cars to start working, in fact, it took more than 40 years, well, here's the reason. It's because they require a complex combination of three different things, three different technologies. They are sensors, connectivity, and software. So that indeed does sound quite complex, quite complex. complicated. You've got to have these three different things working together. And that's why it has taken so long for these things to start working. So we've got sensors, which I guess are cameras or motion sensors, so the car can know how fast it's going and if there are other vehicles close by or if there are things in the road or something like that. Those sensors need to pick those things up. And, of course, that's what sensors are. The cameras and the radar, they monitor the surroundings. So, yes, radar, of course, is LADA in Chinese. You pretty much know what that is. Radar in English. Monitor, that means you kind of check things out and you know what's happening at all times.
You track it.
Yeah, just like your computer monitor tells you what's going on with your program at all times. And your surroundings, everything around you, as I said, vehicles that are nearby, the curb, for example, things in the road, a stray dog or something like that, a meteorite falling from the sky, the sensors have to pick those things up.
Yeah, you'll often see sensors on doors. You know, if you go to a convenience store, the doors are usually shut. If you stand in front of them, they open automatically. They have sensors in there. Sometimes I wave, you know, at the sensor so it'll open faster. But yeah, that's an example. Monitor. Yeah. Unfortunately, we're being monitored all the time by Facebook, by Google. They track us online. That's also a way to monitor people. And when you use surroundings as a noun, guys, it has an S on it. You can't say the surrounding. We use surrounding without an S as an adjective. The surrounding neighborhood or the surrounding forest. But here it's just a noun, so it needs an S. So we've got all of these different types of technologies that all work together, and that is not easy. We'd like to say that's no mean feat, which means it's very difficult. Feat as in F-E-A-T, not the kind you walk on. It's kind of tough to get all of these technologies in sync, working together so that you can drive smoothly, or at least your driverless car can.
Yeah, those are the sensors there.
Yeah.
I did want to ask this question as a side comment. Why do the sensors in bathrooms at the sink almost never work? I'm so sick of sticking my hand there and no water comes out.
True.
And we want sensors to protect our lives on the highways, yet they can't tell us when we want water in the bathroom. So I think I'm going to ride my bicycle for many years. But in any case, that's one aspect here, sensors. We've also got connectivity. Okay, so these things have to be connected to an overall network in the computer, probably within the car itself, but also in some kind of internet.
Right.
So that you know that there are other cars around and you know what they're doing, or perhaps this car is looking for empty parking spaces and it can get that information from the internet or something. So, of course, the car has to have connectivity. It involves anything from internet access to information about routes, traffic, and weather. Yes, the routes, where you're going to go. I'm going to go down this alley here, make a left there, and then get onto a main street and go down and get on the freeway and go for about 20 miles, get off, blah, blah, blah. Those are all the routes.
We pronounce this word route in Taiwan, but you need to know that it's also pronounced route. In fact, when I was growing up, I had a part-time job as a, I think it was in junior high, as a paper girl or a paper delivery girl. I would get up at 4 in the morning and go deliver papers to save up some extra cash. That was called a paper route. Here in Taiwan, I've noticed everyone says route, which is fine. But you need to know someone might say route in the States, and you need to understand that too. So there's a software portion in the car that's called the mind. The reason it has quotation marks around it, it's not a real mind, it's not a brain. But we refer to software or AI sometimes as being the brain of something or the mind of something. And it actually is making decisions based on the data that's coming in from all these places, from the radar, the sensors, the connectivity, they're all being meshed or mixed together, and that's how the AI or the computer in your car makes good decisions.
So all these things need to work together, and the system cannot crash, And since my PC still crashes from time to time, I don't know how they're going to stop crashes in these autonomous cars.
Right.
So again, I think they have many years to go before they're actually used by regular people on the roads. And here in the next paragraph, it says, although a lot of progress has been made, the world won't be going driverless in the immediate future. So you hear about this in the news all the time about driverless cars improving, but still you're going to have to drive yourself for quite some time here. These cars are not going to be commonplace anytime soon.
So they did a recent survey. A survey is when you ask people some questions and then you take the results and you find out the percentage of people who like this or who hate this or who don't have a preference or have no opinion. Well, there was a survey. A survey is the noun pronunciation, but you'll often hear people say survey as the verb form, so be careful with that. This is the noun. A survey showed that 78% of drivers in the U.S. are afraid of riding in a driverless car. Now, no one called me up or sent me email asking me to take the survey, but I would have been one of the 78% who are still a little bit afraid of riding in a driverless car. And people in other countries, because of course they're doing surveys around the world, seem to, or it looks like, you get the feeling that they share Americans' worries. So it's not just Americans who are a little bit afraid. It's pretty much people around the world. They don't think the technology is quite there yet.
Yeah, we learned our lesson from computers. They still crash all the time.
Yeah.
So, again, as I said, why would we expect cars not to crash? So I would definitely be with these 78% of drivers. In fact, I think that number is quite low. I would think maybe 90% of people would be afraid to ride in a driverless car.
Well, you know, airplane crashes that were in the news, the Boeing 737 MAX, that was a computer failure, guys. So, yeah, it's a little scary getting into any type of vehicle where they're really relying quite heavily on technology. Hopefully they fix that real soon.
Okay, so in the next paragraph, we'll talk about that after our break. So let's do that. Here comes our Chinese teacher.
Hello, everyone. My name is Tina. 开发无人车辆需要三种不同的技术，分别是 sensors, 感测器 connectivity,连接性以及 software 软体。首先我们来看到 sensors， 在第一段中间的句子提到 sensors, cameras and radar, for instance, monitor the surroundings for things such as traffic lights and other vehicles。 这里的 sensors 感测器，举例来说像是照相机跟 radar 雷达，它的功能跟作用就是监测你行驶的周围，像是交通号志或者是其他车辆等事物。而我们生活周遭的环境也可以说 the surroundings。 我们特别来看一下 monitor 这个动词，在这里是有监控监测的意思。举例来说，据说警方在那一段时间监听了他的电话，就可以说 It is said that the police monitored his phone calls during that period. 透过这样子的监测就可以了解周遭的环境。下一个是连接性。后面的句子提到 Connectivity involves anything from internet access to information about routes,traffic and weather. 连接性呢，则是包含着任何可以从网络存取到关于路线 routes, 交通 traffic, 或者是天气等等资讯。Connectivity, 我们常常用在全球的连接性，也可以说 global connectivity。而无线的连接则是可以说 wireless connectivity。接着我们来看到第二段的第二个句子提到 A recent survey showed that 78% of drivers in the U.S. are afraid of riding in a driverless car, and people in other countries seem to share Americans' worries. 在一份最近的调查当中呢，有提到大约 78% 的美国驾驶对于乘坐无人车 感到害怕，而其他国家的人似乎也拥有相同的忧虑。这里的 survey 用来当作名词，就是指的调查或者是调查报告。我们来再举一个例子，一份最新的民意调查表示，大多数人对于不断增长的犯罪率表示忧虑。A recent survey of public opinion showed that most people were worried about the increasing crimes. 而这份呢，则是表达了大家对于乘坐无人车感到害怕的感觉。
We're going to take a quick break. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Welcome back, guys. We're talking about self-driving cars, where we are with them these days. We know that they've made a lot of progress recently, and you've probably been reading more and more articles about this. I have. Very curious about it. Some people are very pro self-driving cars, and other people are very anti, which means they're against them. Although a lot of progress has been made, the world's still kind of a little bit nervous about getting into a driverless vehicle.We talked about the survey before the break that showed almost 80% of people in the U.S. are afraid of riding in one of these cars, and people in other countries seem to share those worries. Now, moving on to the third paragraph, it says, are these concerns, these worries, justified? If something's justified, it means there's a good reason why something's going on.So if something happens, perhaps you miss school, but it's justified because you're sick, there's a good reason why you stayed home. Now, if you miss school because you went out to play with friends, that's not justified. And you might get into trouble with your parents and the school, too.
Yeah, so for example, I could say, are teachers justified to go on strike if their salary is too low? You might want to think, no, they're not justified. They need to be responsible and teach those kids for that salary. But in any case here, yes, these concerns, are they justified? Should the people have these concerns? Or are they worry warts? Are they just worrying too much about these things? Mm-hmm. And in terms of passenger safety, probably not. Okay, so yes, if you look at the statistics, regarding human drivers, well, they're pretty bad. Mm. Over 80% of traffic accidents are caused by human error. People getting behind the wheel of a car, that's just a dangerous situation. People think they're better drivers than they really are. And of course, the car is moving faster than the human body was designed to go. So it's a very unnatural situation. We all think we're such great drivers, but hey, we may make mistakes all the time. And of course, some people think, hey, I've only had a couple of drinks. I can drive. No problem. I'm a real macho kind of guy.
Mm-hmm. I was kind of excited when they invented that breathalyzer for cars, which means the car wouldn't let you start it until you would breathe into this device that would check if you were drunk or not. I thought that was a great idea because once people drink, they stop making good decisions.
True.
So I still think we should be doing that. And we're going to have to start testing for pot and other drugs, too. So, yeah, passenger safety. A lot of traffic accidents happen because people are stupid. They do dumb things. Autonomous vehicles, on the other hand, so we told you that, you know, a lot of accidents are caused by dumb humans. But on the other hand, vehicles, they don't do things like fall asleep at the wheel. I've done that.You know, but as you drift over to the right, that's usually the direction the car goes. At least on the freeways, the highways in America, they have something along the side of the road that wakes you up. You know, it's got that. It's
yeah, not rumble strips. I think they're called rumble strips.
Rumble, which is a sound. Sometimes people get drunk and they don't make good choices. You can't when you're drunk. You just make stupid decisions.And a lot of people speed, which is dumb, but we do it.
Everybody else is doing it, so why not me? There are no police around. I'm in a hurry, so why not? Yeah.
Yeah. So the number of accidents might actually decrease with these driverless cars, which isn't to say they won't have other trouble.
They'll have other troubles or problems as well, but yeah, at least these cars driven by humans won't be such a menace anymore, especially with
all the... A danger.
Yeah, a menace, a danger, especially with so many people going through red lights these days. My goodness, it doesn't seem like anybody wants to stop anymore.
It's true.
But one downside of driverless vehicles is that they could have a negative economic impact. So this is a downside that's a disadvantage, something that's bad about driverless vehicles. Yeah, they might have a negative economic impact. Some people may lose their jobs because of these self-drive cars. For example, taxi, truck, and bus drivers might find themselves out of a job. Yeah, what are they going to do, you know, if the driver of, say, the 270 bus cannot drive his bus anymore because it's a self-drive bus? What's he going to do? Go to a restaurant and wash dishes or something like that? Or try to collect unemployment checks? Yeah, that's going to be real difficult.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of political commentators, people who have opinions about politics, discuss this. This is a big deal because everybody needs a job. That just is part of life. It gives you healthy self-esteem to have a job. I wanted to mention downside, as Tom says, is a negative aspect of something. The opposite is an upside. So, yeah, I'm worried about all the drivers, especially in the U.S. We have lots of truck drivers who drive across country with products, with goods, and deliver them to stores and people like that. And, of course, we love the taxis here and the bus drivers. They're always busy. Well, then there's the possibility of security threats. When you're talking about security, you're talking about keeping your family safe, your country safe, the state of being free from danger or any sort of threat. Nowadays, the big security threat is hackers, computer hackers, who can go into your computer system and change things and make it dangerous for you. Be careful.
Yeah, what if, Kim Jong-un from North Korea decides to hack all the cars in Taiwan and have everybody drive off a cliff at the same time? Yeah, maybe so. They might do that just so they can come and invade or whatever. So, yeah, watch out for that. There are security threats, and they might hack the system or they might get hijacked.
Yeah.
There are also legal concerns, you know, having to do with the law, including vehicle quality standards and licensing.
Oh, before we move on, Tom.
Sure.
Usually we use this word hijack to talk about hijacking people. They hijack the plane, you know, when people are on board and they take control, they force the pilot to do what they want. Here, they're hijacking your system, meaning they hack in and they control everything. You no longer have control.
That's right. So that would be definitely a very uneasy feeling if that were to happen. So again, we've got this other problem with legal concerns about the law, you know, quality standards. Do the cars meet certain standards? And how do you license them?
Mm-hmm.
Who gets to operate the cars? Who gets to manufacture them? Which cars get to be on the streets and stuff like that? And governments need to prepare for the changes that will occur with the arrival of self-driving vehicles. I think they'll probably learn as they go, you know, as you know, some cars take the road and then some things happen, so the government will make some laws here and there. It will be kind of an ongoing process.
Kind of a mess, though. The government's always behind everything.
Sure.
We still don't have good laws that regulate those drones that are in the sky. So it is something we need to keep an eye on. And the people in each country need to make sure that the government's up to date, that we have good quality standards, that there's a good way to license these cars. So we've got to prepare for the changes that will occur. There's no doubt we're going to have driverless cars or self-driving vehicles in the future, but hopefully everybody can get on the same page. We'll have good regulations. We'll feel secure in these cars. But the governments are going to need to move fast, and they really don't, because sooner or later, we'll be living in a driverless world. That's the truth.
I'm kind of wondering how that's going to happen here in Taiwan with so many motorcycles, because I don't think it's possible to have a self-driving motorcycle. I think some people have tried to work on that.
The balance alone would be
the
difficult.
The balance, all those sorts of things. So, yeah, I don't really think that's going to make big changes in Taiwan society anytime soon. We just love our scooters here too much. But in any case, that brings us to the end of our explanation for today. Here comes our Chinese teacher.
接着我们来看到第三段提到这样子的担忧是否合理呢？第三段最后一个句子提到 Autonomous vehicles, on the other hand, don't fall asleep at the wheel, don't get drunk, and don't speed.Meaning, accident numbers should go down when they are being used. 在这里的 autonomous vehicles 当然指的是我们的自动车。我们来介绍一下这个形容词 autonomous 也就是有自制的或者是自主的。我们常常也看到它的名词 autonomy 指的是自制或者是有自主权的国家。我们回到这个句子来看到它中间有一个 on the other hand 这个转成词解释成为另一方面就是从另外一方面来看呢自动车是不会在行驶当中打瞌睡也不会酒驾当然也不会超速 meaning 在这里要请同学圈起来因为有前面这样子的因素所以呢就意味着Accident numbers, 也就是发生事故的数量呢，应该是会减少的。下一段的第一句提到 One downside of driverless vehicles is that they could have a negative economic impact. 当然，其中无人驾驶的一个缺点就是他们可能会产生负面的经济影响。Impact 在这里呢，就是当作名词影响的意思。对哪方面有了影响，我们会加介系词 on。所以呢，因为有了无人车，像是计程车、卡车、公车司机就可能失业了。所以政府当然要做好准备咯。今天文章的最后一句提到 Governments need to prepare for the changes that will occur with the arrival of self-driving vehicles. And they'll need to move fast.Because sooner or later, we'll be living in a driverless world. 这一句就提醒大家，政府要开始做改变，而且要快一点。With the arrival of self-driving vehicles, 随着无人车的到来，要赶快做准备，否则啊，迟早我们都将生活在一个无人驾驶的世界。OK, 以上就是今天的课程讲解，谢谢收听。
That is it for today, everybody. Discuss this amongst yourselves. What about the future of driverless cars? Yeah. How is it going to affect you, and is it going to happen anytime soon? Well, again, that brings us to the end of our discussion, so please join us again next time for another edition of our program. From all of us here at English Digest, I'm Tom.
I'm Stephanie.
Goodbye. Bye.